We get things underway this afternoon by getting on board the telephone line and welcoming in Pete Abraham of the Boston Globe, who joins us from Red Sox spring training. Hello, Pete.
Rich, if I knew it was National Napping Day, I'd be sleeping, but I found this out.
So. I'm sorry to bring you the news at an inopportune time. Where was that information at about 1 o'clock?
Yeah, I could have used it.
Let's talk about all that's going on and not happening with the Red Sox, and start with the pitching rotation, which is very much in flux. And you wrote about the fact that Martin Perez, who was sort of overlooked as an offseason acquisition, might turn out to be a key part of this team.
Well, yeah, they signed him in December, and it was a very low-key signing. Not much attention was paid to it. And the thought was that he would be the number five starter, and you know they might use him for 25, 26 starts. And now he's the number three starter. And you know they're going to want a lot more than that out of him, and they're going to need it if they're going to be competitive. And you know this is a guy who was the number two starter for the Rangers a couple times in his career, and he had a very good start to the year last year with Minnesota before he tailed off. But this is the state of things now with David Price being traded and Chris Sale injured. The Red Sox are right now, they think they have four starters, but they're not sure if they have five.
And it looks like the number four, at least at this point, is Ryan Weber.
Yeah, who, again, was not somebody who they thought would be in that role. They held on to him all winter as they made a lot of changes to the roster, thinking that he could be one of their reserve starters, somebody they could count on when there are injuries or doubleheaders or something like that. And now it's looking like he's the number four guy. So these are players who they thought could be helpful when you look at Perez and Weber, but certainly not guys who you thought would be in the first five games of the season.
I do like the signing of Colin McHugh. What kind of role do they see him filling?
Well, I think that's to be determined, because he was an excellent reliever for the Astros 2 years ago, one of the best guys in the American League. And he's been a good starter, right? A guy who's received Cy Young votes. But he still is recovering from an elbow issue that he had a treatment on in December. It wasn't surgery. It was more breaking up some scar tissue. And he hasn't started his throwing program yet. So even if he were to start that in the next, say, 2 weeks, he would need a solid month and a half to rebuild his arm strength and face hitters and go through all of the things that pitchers have to do to get ready for a season. So I think at the earliest that you could see him in a major league game would be probably sometime in May.
We're talking with Pete Abraham of the Boston Globe. Chris Sale, I guess, got the lesser bad news in that doctors are not recommending Tommy John surgery at this point, but it's not safe to say he's out of the woods yet. And I mean, he seemed genuinely concerned. He's always been a pretty thoughtful and open guy from what I've observed. And he seems pretty worried about this, even with that relatively good news.
Yeah, no doubt. And I think this is sort of what they're doing is that they want to make, you don't want to have somebody have major surgery unless you're sure that he absolutely has to have that. And what the doctor said is there's a chance that you could get through this, that the inflammation could calm down. The tendon is still intact, even though the muscle around it is not. Maybe with some rest and some medication, you'll be okay. But there's, I think, a pretty significant chance that he won't be. And so whether if they wait a couple of weeks to determine that, that's really not going to change what's, if he does have surgery in terms of when he could come back to the team, because that rehab is so long. So a couple of weeks maybe doesn't really matter. So they want to give this every chance they can, obviously, because Chris is such an important player. But yeah, when he sat there in front of us, he was beating himself up. He didn't mince any words. And as somebody who does what I do for a living, you appreciate when a guy says what he really thinks and not saying what he thinks everybody wants to hear. He was brutally honest with us.
Some rule changes that may impact teams this year in Major League Baseball, and one of them is the three-batter rule for relievers. But Ron Renicki says that may not be such an issue for the Red Sox because they've got guys that can do equally well against lefties or righties.
Yeah, and by that he means Josh Taylor, who was very good facing both last year, and Darwinson Hernandez was a lot better against lefties than he was against righties, but he certainly has the tools to be able to handle righties. Now, I think for a lot of managers, they're just guessing how this is going to work out, because until you get into games and the ebb and flow of the season and whether guys are available on certain days or not, it's going to change a lot of things. There's a lot of days in a major league season when a relief pitcher will go to a manager and say, hey, I can probably get you one or two batters today. This is my third day in a row pitching, and but I could give you 15 pitches. That's probably not going to be enough to get three batters. So managers are going to have to be careful how they use those guys on certain days. And then there's a lot of little loopholes to the rule that, like, an intentional walk counts as a batter faced, even though you don't throw any pitches in an intentional walk. But if you pick somebody off, that doesn't count. So
right.
There's a lot of little things about it that I think both the managers and the players and the fans are all going to have to get used to.
Pete, you tweeted earlier this afternoon that the Sox have renewed Rafael Devers. Is there any talk at all about trying to get him wrapped up early and avoid a Mookie Betts situation?
Yeah, I think there would be. With a player like that, clearly you'd want to keep him around for a long time. And it's not uncommon for players to be renewed. Essentially, all it means is their agent is trying to make a statement that, you know, the player should have got paid more at this stage in his career. The teams control what a player gets paid his first 3 years in the big leagues. There's no negotiations or anything like that. The Cardinals just renewed their ace, Jack Flaherty, and it's happened to a number of different players. Juan Soto with the Nationals. Now, that doesn't preclude the teams coming to an agreement. That often that happens. And, you know, Rafi's obviously a guy with a very bright future, and that the trend has been for teams to try to lock these guys up, and they're going to make every effort to try to get that done with them.
So what's left for roster questions for this team as spring training heads to the home stretch?
There's a few things. Obviously they need to figure out, you know, who's their starters in the first five games of the year, and there'll be some questions. As that gets settled, that'll change the makeup of the bullpen to some degree. They're still trying to figure out the last few spots on the bench. The backup catcher is an interesting proposition because they signed Jonathan LaCroix, who's a very accomplished player, a guy who had some very good years with Ron Renneke when they were in Milwaukee. He's coming off surgery, and the guy he's competing against, Kevin Pilecki, is not a very notable player, but he's having a terrific camp. He's probably been one of the better hitters the Red Sox have had. So you got to be careful about putting too much stock in the spring training statistics, but Pilecki is looking like a guy who's, you know, very hungry to keep that job. And LaCroix is such a good player. You know, he was such a good player. He offers a lot of offense potentially. It'll be interesting to see the direction the Sox go with that.
Well, and you wrote, in yesterday's Globe, that the cutoff there is around 100 games. And if you think your starter is going to play less than 100 games, then you want some offense out of that position. And what did we get, 103 out of Christian Vasquez last year?
Yeah, and I think they feel like that number is going to rise. That, you know, he was their primary catcher for most of the second half last year when Sandy Leon tailed off, and that's why Sandy's not with them anymore. And they feel like Vasquez is at an age and his experience, he's become a very productive hitter, that he's going to catch more than that. You know, unless there's any sort of injury, they're going to want him to catch 125, 130 games, and that's what he wants too. So now until he does that, you don't know, but I suspect they're going to prioritize a good defensive catcher when it comes right down to it, because they do feel like Vasquez is going to carry a pretty heavy load.
Pete Abraham of the Boston Globe. Pete, we appreciate you making time for us on a busy Monday afternoon. Thanks as always. And look, if you happen to doze off watching that Braves game tonight, again, National Napping Day, it's okay.
Hey, I got a 2-hour drive back to Fort Myers. I got to stay alert.
Exactly. It's all safety first, definitely. Thanks,
Pete.
Thanks a lot, Rich. All right, bye-bye now. Pete Abraham of the Globe. Check him out, boston.com. Boston Globe, a great writer, beat writer for the Sox, always sharing good information with us here. Those Boston Insiders are brought to you every day on Downtown by the Ground Round. Happy hour pricing from 3 to 6, specials during games, great service and amazing food at your locally owned and operated Ground Round on the Odlin Road in Bangor.